The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Bible said the heavens belong to the Lord. He said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. You can play for me. And so, the responsibility of guardianship over the earth realm is the responsibility of man. But in order to govern the earth and to bring the civilization of heaven from the heavens to the earth, we must function according to the coordinates of the Spirit and the patterns that are established in the heavens. Reason is because the earth is an offspring of the heavens. If you study Genesis chapter 2 from verse 4, you will discover that the earth proceeded from the heavens. And so in order for the earth, the territorial integrity of the earth realm to be preserved, we must align with the coordinates of the heavens. If we lose the ability to keep the earth in resonance with the flows of the heavens, the earth will be out of alignment. And when the earth drifts from alignment, other princes in the realm of God will step in to bring government that is alien to the civilization of God. And so in Psalm 82 from verse 5, he said, they know not, neither would they understand. He said, they walk on in darkness. It would have been enough that they were darkened. But the scriptures began to open up the people of the earth to a mystery that they didn't understand. That as they walk in darkness, they are not just bedeviled. He said, the foundation of the earth is out of course. That means when the man is darkened, the impact and the effect of his darkness does not only tell on him, it impacts on his ecosystem. Because the man is the governor of the earth realm. The earth is out of course because the earth is no longer in alignment with the heavens. When God created the earth, he formed the portal between the heavens and the earth. Because there was need for transmission. And he called that portal Eden. Eden is not on earth. Neither is Eden in heaven. Eden is a portal between the heavens and the earth. Because it's like a gangway through which the realities of the earth, of the heavens, can be downloaded to the earth realm. The reason God met with man in Eden was because of the nature of God and the nature of man. I'm trying to take us on a journey. Praise the name of the Lord. God is spirit, but God has the capacity to put on flesh. In Christ, a spirit was clothed with flesh because God is originally spirit. But when God wants to do business in the visible realm, He clothes himself with flesh. So that dimension of God you see is a hybrid. It's a hybrid of immortality and mortality. On the other hand, man is flesh. But man, by the instrumentality of God, is able to put in spirit. So why spirit puts on flesh? Man puts in spirit. And so man is like a reverse mechanism of the dimensions of God. So when you look at man, in him is God. And when you look at God, upon God is man. So today, God is in heaven as a man, in the person of Jesus Christ. So upon God is man seated, and within man is God imputed. Now, for God and man to coexist, there has to be a realm that is also a hybrid of the spirit and of the natural. Heaven is spirit, earth is natural, but Eden is a hybrid. Eden is a hybrid of spirit and natural. So the same way man is now a hybrid of God and flesh, he now dwells in a portal that is both spirit and natural. On the strength of that, he is able to interact with the spirit realm as though it is natural habitation. Because his spirit component recognizes the spiritual realm like his home. And his physical component recognizes the earth as his own. That was God's original design. So when God asked man to rule over the earth, he expected man to dwell in that superior atmosphere called Eden. And from that atmosphere, he will bring guardianship upon the face of the earth. But when the man fell, he became flesh and his spirit died. When he became flesh, he was driven out of Eden, because the habitation of Eden was for a hybrid creature that is both spirit and flesh. Now that he has sinned, his spirit man has been disconnected from God. So the life of the spirit has been withdrawn. The man can no longer consider Eden as home. So he was driven out of Eden. Now he's walking on the earth like an animal. He becomes like a beast. On the strength of his fall, he can no longer exercise guardianship on the earth realm, because for you to rule over the earth, there must be a spirit component. So another spirit took over the earth realm. And so when the devil tempted Jesus upon the mountain, he made a very vital claim, which was legal in the spirit realm. He said, "Bow down to me. I will give you the glory of the earth, for it has been delivered unto me." So what the man did in his fall was to relinquish his authority to provide guardianship on the earth to the devil. Praise the Lord. The moment he was detached from Eden, he could not rule over the earth realm anymore, because his spirit had died. However, on account of God's benevolence, he began to reinstitute new technologies to help the man rule over the earth. And these technologies are the things we consider in order to reign in life. If you don't understand and master these technologies, you will not be able to reign in life. If we were to be living in Eden, we would have ruled the earth realm by default. It would have been natural, because we would have been existing in a higher plane. But now that we have been driven out of Eden, we have to create spiritual systems that bring Eden to our natural habitat. Eden is no longer a place we go to. It has become a system we create. Those systems that brings Eden back and establishes man in his advantage, it what gives him the right to reign in life. The reason you see few people reigning in life is because only few people have been able to recognize and re-engineer their ecosystem to look like what God created at the first. There are few people who are functioning like that. And that's why, even though they have a lot of information, they are still slaves. Because the princes are not moved by what you know. The princes are moved by what you command. And what you command is a function of definite spiritual realities. The first spiritual infrastructure that restores the atmosphere of Eden is an altar. I'm just going to list them. I'll talk about them in the evening. But there are a few other things I will highlight this morning. So for a man to be able to rule and to reign in life, he must have a functional altar. The reason is because Eden was a place, a convergence point between man and spirit. And on the strength of that convergence, man rules the earth realm with the authority of that spirit. When he was driven from Eden, there was no longer a convergence point. But God wanted man, on account of his mercy, to continue to bring some level of governance to the earth realm. That was why God taught man the technology of the altar. So the first time God converged with man again was when Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to the altar. A convergence was reestablished. Remember, the Bible never recorded that God had any interaction with Adam after he left Eden. Because interaction needed to take place at convergence points. And Adam had been driven from Eden, so there was no longer a convergence point for interaction. The next time scriptures reveal to us that that interaction took place was when the altar was restored. So the altar is a mobile Eden. And everyone that will rule the earth realm must carry that mobile Eden everywhere he goes. The altar is not where we come to worship primarily. The altar is actually an atmosphere of the spirit that we establish around our ecosystem that makes our realm become a portal and creates an allowance for spirit traffic. A spirit can no longer traffic your life. No matter the revelation you have, you will be a slave on the earth realm. Because the first way it was designed for rulership to take place was through spirit traffic. And spirit traffic is only possible in Eden. And so every man who will rule the earth must have a system around him that produces spirit traffic. When Philip and Nathanael came to Jesus, he was wondering and he said, "This is the Christ." And Jesus said, "Is it because I told you I saw you by the fig tree that you say I am the Christ?" He said, "Most assuredly I say unto you, you will see angels ascending and descending upon." So the altar is not a stone. The altar is an atmosphere that you carry. He said, "You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." So the altar is his ecosystem. The altar is his atmosphere. If a man is able to establish himself as an altar, even if you put him in the wilderness, he can turn it to a forest. That means dominion in life is not a product of where you are born. Dominion in life is not a product of what you have in the natural. Dominion in life is a product of the kind of atmosphere you carry. When spirits come here now, they will sample us based on our atmospheres. When spirits come here, they will sample us based on the utterances of our altars. When spirits come here, they will respect and honor us based on the kind of traffic that our lives command. When they look at you, you may be quoting scriptures, but your head is dry. They know there is no traffic going on. So no matter how you shout, you may impress men, not spirits. And this is why this generation, we have no allowance for fake. Because you can fake it before men, not spirits. When they come, they are checking. Is there a portal on your head? Can traffic still take place in your head? Now, when we talk about prayer, like the young man was talking about a while ago, it's not primarily about the tonguing. It's about the spiritual reconditioning of his spirit man. The tongue is like an alarm system that is suggesting something has taken place on his inside. There are people who can pray mechanically, but there are people who are praying by the instrumentality of a hunger. There are people who are praying by the instrumentality of a desire. There are people who are praying by the instrumentality of a deep intercourse taking place. So the tongue is not what pushes them actually. The tongue is actually a sign that something is happening on the inside. So when you meet those people, the hunger in their spirit creates a gangway for spirit traffic. The desire in their spirit creates a gangway for spirit traffic. The density of God in their spirit creates a gangway. Those who reign in life are creatures of altars. Are we together? I'm just trying to list a few things before I start talking. Those who reign in life are creatures of altars. I'm saying this because you can come for a conference like this and you get swallowed up in excitement. And you are not able to create an altar. When you run through scripture, no man had dominion without altars. Not one. Jacob received the blessings from his father. It was when he hit on the altar that dominion was activated. And what did they see? They saw a traffic of angels. ascending and descending. The moment that traffic is established, if you like, sell slippers, you will dominate. If you like, sell pure water, you will dominate. If you like, just walk around and be a marketer, you will dominate. Because it's not what you are doing in the natural that prospers you, it's the spirit that backs it up. When a man carries that altar, there are a lot of things that begins to happen in his life. The second thing that makes for reigning in life, acceptance. I'm listing a few things for you. In the evening, I will teach you how to assess those things. The kind of scepter you carry is what determines the kind of dominion you exercise. You know, as a young Christian, you'll be excited by many things. I saw people who quoted scriptures, I memorized scriptures, and I quoted. But our results were worlds apart. Somebody comes, quote one scripture, and the blind eyes open. I come, I quote five, the eyes remain blind. Somebody comes, quotes one scripture, a cripple rises. I come, I quote 10, the person becomes more crippled. And I ask myself, what is going on here? I now realize that the scriptures the men were quoting were not memorized. Those scriptures were access points that they had in the spirit. So they dug into those scriptures until those scriptures became doorways. It was when they entered those scriptures that they came out with the scepter. So somebody is quoting a scripture he heard. Another person is quoting a place that he traveled to. They are two different realities. For two people quoting scripture, one is quoting what he memorized. Another person is quoting a location. You can stay in Lagos and talk about Port Harcourt because you read it. A man who has come to Port Harcourt before, he will not just talk about it. He has an experience. The guy who has an experience has authority. That authority is called a scepter. There are many people today who don't have scepters in the spirit. They are quoting what they hear people say. That's why many people are motivated to listen to messages. They are not listening to messages because they want to travel. They are listening to messages because they want to improve their vocabulary. Your vocabulary will improve when you speak. People will clap, but spirits will laugh. Because it's one thing to quote what you heard. It's another thing to labor in the spirit to journey there. So scriptures, I realized, were doors in the spirit. That's why I said, holy men of God. He said they spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. So everything they wrote down were testimonies of their journeys in the spirit. So when a man says power, or he says the power of the Holy Spirit, he's not just making a phrase or a statement. He's talking about a dimension that he has entered into. And when he enters that dimension, he comes back with dispensations. He comes back with realities. Because in the spirit, a place is not just a location. A place is an access point to reality. I can come into a place and I enter a dispensation. I can come into a place and when I come back to you, I will come back with the Elijah dimension. Because that place is a host of a dimension. So for me, it's not a location. I stepped into a reality. I can enter a place in the spirit. And when I will come with wisdom. I can enter a place in the spirit. When I come with favor. I can enter a place in the spirit. When I come with power. The reason is because those places are actually access points to reality. What I come back with is a scepter. That is why you and I can quote John 3:16. But for you, when you enter John 3:16, John 3:16 was confidence and power. For me, when I entered John 3:16, it was favor and assurance. So both of us will be walking with John 3:16. You will be casting out devils, I will be prospering. Because when we enter John 3:16, John 3:16 meant different things for us. So when I come for a meeting, both of us can quote John 3:16, the people will still be blessed. Because while I'm quoting John 3:16, the power of God will be moving. While you are quoting John 3:16, people will be prospering. Because the scripture is not to educate you. The scripture is to open you to a realm. When people don't understand this, they will be doing business with the scripture, but they will be shallow. When you know this, you will discover that scriptures are access points. When you are able to enter, a scepter is given to you. What gives you dominion in life is not the scriptures you quote, it's the scepter you carry.
But for you to access the scepter, you must enter his scripture. This is why Paul said, until I come. He said, give attendance to reading. 1 Timothy 4:13. To exhortation and to doctrine. He didn't say read it and listen to it. In verse 16, he said, give thyself wholly to this thing, that your profiting may be made manifest. You've got to submit to this thing until you enter into the reality. Why am I saying this? Our generation lacks scepter because we don't stay. It takes staying and praying for the doors to open. He said, knock, the door will be open. It takes time. We are running over everything. You attend one conference, you hear Apostle A, you hear Apostle B, you hear Apostle 3, Apostle C, and you gather what they say, and you come to a place, you become Apostle D. But you became Apostle D by copying what other people said. Meanwhile, Apostle A said something because he entered into it. We are in a rush to manifest, but we have not waited for the doors to open. When you know this truth, you can sit with one scripture for 3 months. Because you are waiting, you want to enter it. What gives men power to reign in life? It's not sensation. When you are done shouting and laughing with excitement, you will come back to reality where the demons dwell. And when you come and say, open the gates, they will say, who is talking? We are not moved. We have seen men of many generations. We saw your great-grandfather, we saw your grandfather, we saw your father. We have seen you. We know that in your family, this is the temperament that is dominant. So that you are doing like this, we know that's how your father too responds. You want to reign, there must be a scepter. Number three. You want to reign in life, there must be ascension. Men who reign, don't reign from the same plane. The Bible says, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. That means a higher pedestal in the spirit gives you an advantage. Too many people are on ground trying to fight on ground. You'll be disadvantaged. This is why those who reign in life understand the technology of quickening. Because if you are not quickened, you can't ascend. And if you cannot ascend, you cannot bring dominion to a territory. That's why every time there is dominion, there is the word mountain. Upon Mount Zion, there is deliverance. Only those who go high are able to establish dominion. And for you to go high, you must master the technology of quickening. But the problem most times is that our generation is besetted. They said to put aside every sin and every weight that does easily beset you. Because there are too many weights that prevent your ascension. Today you find somebody praying for 4 hours, but gossip and malice is still a natural part of him. And so even though he has tarried from morning till night, he's heavy, he can't fly. Today you find somebody tarry in tongues for 7 hours, but even after that prayer, there is still malice in his heart. There is jealousy in his heart. There is competition. When you probe carefully, the reason he's praying for 7 hours is because the brother he started with yesterday, can you imagine? They have invited him for 3 meetings this month, and me that is here have not been invited. And people are looking at me like the ministry is not working. So he went to waste his time on the altar trying to compete with somebody that God is lifting. And while he's yet on that altar, the weight he carries in his heart keep drawing him down. Every time a man wants to fly, he must be light. If you are not light, you can never ascend. I'm saying this so you will know the things that matter. When you see men exercising dominion, there are things they know. The reason we are quick to forgive is not because forgiveness is easy, but we have a journey. And if we don't forgive, those things will hinder our journey. I have a target for the next 2 years. That's why I can't afford to put you in my heart. No matter how you offend me. Some people are too unreasonable to be forgiven. But I will be reasonable to forgive them because I have a journey. If I put that weight in my heart, it will stop me from going to where I'm going to. I'm telling you why we do a lot of things, and at the end of the day, we have little results. And we cannot reign. When the demons come, they know you are praying in tongues, but they bring people who offend you more and more. And then you come from the place of prayer, you have this person on the right side of your heart, you have this other one on the left side of your heart, you have the other one in the middle part of your heart. So your prayer enterprise for 1 year is useless. The devil can't stop you from praying because there's a pastor insisting that you must pray. And because he can't discourage that pastor from stopping you praying, he will cause you to carry a lot of people in your heart that the pastor is not aware. And you are praying, but you never ascend. And then you end up congratulating yourself for the number of hours you are able to pray. The question is, what was the height you ascended the last time you prayed? Because when the fathers of old prayed, they journeyed in the spirit. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a sound as of a trumpet, and he said unto me, come up hither. Because only those who are up can rule the earth realm. When you know this, you can ascend in a second. I don't need keyboard to ascend. I know that the technology of ascension is to keep my heart pure. Sometimes it's bitterness that pulls you down. And so when you go to pray, it will insist that you are purged, because you can't go far. It will stop you. The creatures you want to interact with, some of them are called the burning ones. You can't come into their ecosystem. They are beings of fire. How can you come there with the garbage of iniquity? So before you journey, you have to be purged. You have to be light to travel. Because when you start ascending, you will meet different atmospheres. You know, when a plane is flying, the atmosphere of earth is oxygen. When you go to a height, there is a place where you have helium. Helium is lighter than oxygen. You need another technology to fly there. That's why you can come to church with malice. When you want to come into the realm of the spirit, malice can't stand. So no matter how you try, you can't pierce. And if you can't go high, you will give command on earth, nothing happens. And you are wondering, why can't I reign? Because you can't ascend. Ascension is one of the requirements in order to man your apostolic gates, so that you can bring deliverance unto Jacob. But there are too many people walking on earth because they are hindered from flying in the spirit. Let me stop here. I want to teach some. Let me teach some things. If I continue this one, it will affect somebody too much. He's now seeing that I thought something was sorry. I received terrible impartation from A-list ministers. And when I come back thinking that my word have changed, the Holy Ghost now tell me that you are a stingy man. And since you are stingy with natural things, if I give you spiritual things, you'll still be stingy. And so there's no way you can grow. I received an impartation from a global apostle. I couldn't stand for days. And the Lord is telling me, there's nothing wrong with the impartation. He said, but it will manifest, because your heart is not large. The reason is because if you pray for somebody else and he starts doing better than you, you will die. You can't tolerate it. So because of that, you can't communicate the anointing. So I will stop you there. There are spiritual intelligence that the church needs to be taught again. These ones are basic things, because in the evening I will start talking without regard. That's why I'm creating the foundation. I'm just creating foundation. Creating foundation. Okay, check your heart for 1 minute and find out the garbage that is there. Find out, just check. And you will see why all the impartations have not been working. You see why all the hours you tarried have not been working. There's too much garbage. Some of us can't control our mouth. We like pulling people down. And until you have said something bad about somebody, you are not excited. So when they are talking, you just say, Well, I don't want to say anything, so that it doesn't look like. The moment they say, I don't want to say anything, they have started to, that's when they want to say. And until you whitewash that person, paint that person, and bring the worst thing about that person, you are not excited. And then you come back later, you say, we want to take over Port Harcourt. With which mouth? foundation. When you are able to put all of these things in place, then spirits begin to dwell with you. The secret of dominion is actually the dwelling of spirits. Man was not created to exercise dominion on his own. The capacity to exercise dominion is actually the communication of spirits and their realities. But for any spirit to dwell with you, there must be a reconstruction carried out around your life. This is why it's not the impartations that are the problem. I can come into this hall now and lift a song and my spirit will come alive. I'll make declarations, this place will be on fire. But for how long can you keep it? Because the spirit will come at the end of the day, they can't stay. And because they can't stay, you will exercise it for 3 days and you discover it's gone. The first time Randy Clark imparted me, I came back home. I discovered even the things I said casually were happening. Now, Randy Clark is a global apostle. A lady came to me, she has had hepatitis. I said, it's gone. She came back the next day. Ah, she did a test, it's gone. I said, wait, what? What happened? It's gone. I was just talking, things were happening. I said, okay, the time for global ministry have come. The hour, now is the hour. I have been waiting for this for long. And I went and organized some suits to begin my global ministry. After 2 weeks, I now said, on Saturday mornings, I will be praying for the sick. You know, when you do for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's consistent, it means it has rested. And I say, Saturdays are for prayers. If you are sick, come on Saturday. After 2 weeks, I came like a bishop. I made declarations. Make declarations. Nothing happened. What is going on here? The anointing that came have lifted. Because there's no consecration for it to rest on. That's why when I come, they say impartation service, I calm the people down first. You need to count the cost. Don't just get excited. Because for some of you, you will need to take off things from your life to be able to go with what is here. If not, you will end up having a record of the people that have laid hands on you. But there will be nothing to show for it. You can even copy the utterances, but there will be nothing to show for it. But if you are able to deal with these things, you will not only receive it, but you will keep it. Then you become a savior to your generation. I work with young people, so I'm not interested in exciting them. Because if you're only excited, after 10 years, you discover you wasted your life. When you put these things in place, and there are about 12 of them, when you put these things in place, and spirits are able to tabernacle with you, then a few things are deposited on your life. Those things deposited on your life are the channels for dominion. And those are the things I want to talk about. The channels through which you exercise dominion and you reign in life. The first thing the spirits that come to tabernacle with you will give you is what we call wisdom and understanding. Nobody reigns without wisdom. Nobody reigns without understanding. But wisdom is not gotten just by reading a book. In the olden days, when they called a man wise, or when they called somebody a wise man, is his ability to look into the spirit realm. So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he said, to gather all the wise men of Babylon. This is not come to read a book and give a speech. If it's about speech giving, politicians would have been the wisest men. But we discovered that when they go into office, they are daft. They don't even have an idea of the problem of society. They just came to loot money and go. Meanwhile, the best speeches in the world were given by politicians. They chronicle them like this and they deliver them. But wisdom is not about what you say. It's about the spirit that talks to you and the impact of those utterances. That's why I say wisdom is justified by her children. And so when Nebuchadnezzar called the wise men of old, he didn't call them to deliver a speech. He told them, I had a dream. This is the dream I had. If you are able to tell me the dream, I will know you can interpret it. Now, this is not a speech. And you didn't sleep with him. And even if you slept on the same bed with him, you didn't go to where he went to his dream. So for you to be a wise man, you must need a spirit to whisper to your ears. So wisdom, therefore, is the spirits that talk to you, the impact that it produces. And so nobody could. Daniel told him, give us time. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And when Daniel went, the Bible said the dream was given to Daniel. The interpretation and the dream was given to Daniel by a night vision. And when he showed up the next morning, he showed us what it meant to be a wise man. And he said, oh king, this is a dream you had. Now, when somebody comes to you and tells you this is the dream you had, and he tells you you will kneel down, that's how you exercise dominion. You exercise dominion by accessing what others cannot access. And the only way to access it is to make contact with a spirit that hosts those dimensions. And so when he gave him the dream, he interpreted the dream. Instantly, the king knelt down for him to bless him. So when a man is blessing a king, he's reigning. But what confers that level of authority is wisdom. 90 to 99% of Christians today have no access to the realm of wisdom because they have no access to the realm of the voice of God. When you ask them around major decisions of their life, including the spiritual ones that are in ministry, every step they took is out of assumptions, presumptions, and presuppositions. Somebody said it, they feel this is better than this, so you find believers trying to weigh alternatives. Somebody wants to get married, a banker comes and a carpenter comes, and they say, well, the banker's salary is more. But because he can't hear the voice of his spirit, he can't see tomorrow. And he ends up marrying a banker whose lifespan is 5 years. And the carpenter he rejects today, 5 years later, is supposed to become a millionaire. And he has a lifespan of 70 years. How would you tell the, and I'm not saying bankers would die, Kai. So wisdom is not how well you can articulate facts. The reason is because facts exist for the present. But wisdom impacts both the present and the future. And that is why men who exercise dominion are men of wisdom. Wisdom is the key that produces authority for dominion. And without wisdom, you can't reign. But you see, the only way you can reign is when a spirit dwells with you, because that spirit is what furnishes you with wisdom. That's why I told you, these are tokens of the first things I listed. When a man begins to live on the altar and spiritual traffic begins to take place, he interacts with different kinds of spirits. And those spirits are the ones that furnishes him with wisdom. When a man purges himself and spirits begin to abide with him, those spirits don't keep quiet. When they come, sometimes somebody is passing, they'll tell you, this man is a bad man. Don't go near him. Meanwhile, the man will come to you with a smile and tell you, I love you, my brother. You have heard a whisper. So even if that man gives you a car, you will run from him. Have you not seen people that gave you money? But when they are coming to you, you say, tell them I'm not around. The reason is because even though his gesture is good, you are hearing a whisper that you can't refuse. That whisper makes you a wise man. As you function on the strength of that kind of wisdom, you will naturally reign from the place of rest. Because every step of your life, there's an instruction that comes from the spirit that you have labored to preserve by altars. Every step of your life, there is a wisdom that you have trapped from the spirit that through purging yourself, you have been able to trap. Because when he told you, somebody offended you, he said, you go and apologize. You wept because he affected your pride. What the spirit is trying to do is to create a foundation for himself to dwell. Because your pride won't let him. When you went to apologize, he pained you. But what you didn't know is that you have trapped a spirit. Because you apologized and you were broken. That brokenness became a portal for that spirit to enter your life. You will not know the advantage the day you apologize. The day you apologize, you look like a fool. But 3 months later, the spirit that you created a portal for will begin to tell you, this business you want to do will fail in 3 months. Do this one. Everybody is running from that business. You now do it. After 6 months, the one that was blossoming fails. And then they now look at you and say, how did you know? I apologize when I should be apologized to. And because I apologize when I should be apologized to, a spirit now tabernacles with me. I know these things by experience. When I got married, a new order of operation began to happen in my life. The reason is because before I got married, I existed like a king. From primary school, I came first. I know some of my mates. And you know, anybody who comes first in primary school consistently becomes the leader of the gang. Is this strange to some of you? Well, those who come first, they know what I'm saying. When you come first, you become the leader. Everybody follows you. So I got used to people following me from the beginning. Hey, why are you doing this? Get up! Get up! I'm a commander. Until when I got married, I couldn't say get out again. That was the first time my things were attacked. Things began to be attacked. Ah, I want to give command. They said, no, this is not one of those in your pack. This one is wife. I started learning to say sorry. And sometimes when I want to say sorry, sorry will be heavy. And I'm not saying 10 years marriage. This is 10 months. You don't know how fleshly we can be. When I want to say sorry, I'll now say, well, that thing that happened, sorry. God will say, no, it's not like that. For the first 2 months, it became a prison. What do you mean? And my wife doesn't argue. She doesn't fight. She just be quiet. Her quietness now began to tamper with my conscience. My conscience that I have hid somewhere that nothing can touch. Now, I have somebody in my space that now touches that conscience. God really bullied me the first 2 months. But while he bullied me, he created a space. I now discovered 3 months later, I'll go for a meeting as I stand. I'll say, there's somebody on this second row. You have something on your throat. And the person will come out. Is it true? While I'm talking, turning like this, I'll see something like a flash, a screen, a microsecond. I will do it in the evening. It's not there. As I'm just talking, a screen will pass, pop. I'll see somebody with a broken joint. He can't lift his hand. And the moment I say, there's somebody here, you can't lift your hand. Lift it now. It's gone. I didn't know that those 2 months that I was being reconstructed, spirits were coming to dwell. Spirits were coming to dwell. It's when I went out, I saw the manifestation. Now, because those spirits began to dwell, wisdom came. In 10 months of marrying, the things that happened in my life is more than the last 10 years of my life. Because when these spirits of wisdom come, it was those spirits that told me, go to Abuja. Go to Abuja. And do what? How do I start in Abuja? As I came, every step by the way, it was leading me. When we started in Abuja, every bee they brought was in millions. It's not one, it's not two, it's not three, it's not four, it's not 5 million. You see bee of 12 million, 32 million. What is happening here? I wanted to go back to Sokoto because the north is easy for me. But that spirit, I will lie down and say, talk this. You will talk. Somebody will just come for Bible study and say, take $8,000. Because you said something that the spirit told you. The spirit will say, go here. I will stand up and go. As you go there, somebody who came will just say, I couldn't sleep. God said, I should come for this meeting. And when he comes, he will give you an envelope. You think it's the usual 50,000 they used to give you. When you open it, you now see that it's another currency. That time, you collect it from your protocol officer and put it in your... protocol can carry iPad with you. Will put that one here. Because you don't open that in the public. When you go to the hotel, you say, lock the door. You want to kneel down and pray. When they lock the door, you are a champ. What is going on here? Something have changed. Dominion have come because the whispers of the spirit have begun. And when those whispers begin, it will take you from nowhere to somewhere. It will lift you from a nobody to a somebody. Because your life becomes a map that you are tracing. Every step you take is a map into greatness. Because wisdom is not the gathering of facts in your mind. It's the leadership of the spirit that you can now hear his voice. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 12, he said wisdom is a defense. It's not about information. He said it's a defense. And he said the excellency of knowledge, it giveth life. The life dimension that produces dominion is a product of the whispers. There are many people that are stranded in life because they can't hear the spirit. The reason is because when the spirits came around them and was troubling them every night to erect an altar, they wanted to sleep. They didn't know that those altars will become gangways through which those spirits will invade their ecosystem. Those men didn't know. When the spirit came and said no, they were quarreling. Say, keep quiet. Don't talk. You say, no, I must defend myself. I never keep quiet. This man, I have never, you heard. Because when that spirit said, keep quiet, what he's trying to do is to dig into your soul. There is a place in your belly that that spirit wants to tabernacle so that it can lord through your life into your ecosystem. But when he gave you those commandments, you violated it. You thought it was about an apology in a dispute. It had nothing to do with the dispute. You were being drawn into the path of the spirit where you can be taught ancient wisdom that ordinary men don't access. Many times it's not what you hear in a conference. It's the journeys that you travel with the spirits of God that determines the depth of wisdom that you can communicate. There are many of you here that God have told you before, from 12 to 3 fast and pray, and you thought it was a joke. It's not about the religiosity. Your heart is full of debris. He wants to excavate those debris so that he can enter, because he's a king. He cannot coexist with those garbage in your soul. So every time these spirits invade your life with instruction, they are creating a pathway. It's like creating a road for a king to drive. Because he knows that your pride will interrupt him. Your fear will interrupt him. Your anger will interrupt him. Your weakness and laxity will interrupt him. So many times it brings technology. It can be giving. It can be prayer. It can be giving you diverse instruction. When he comes there, the sign that he has come is not the feeling. One of the signs that he has come is that he opens you up to wisdom. That wisdom makes you invincible. That's why young believers function by feeling. When they do like this, they are feeling fire. Welcome. When you feel it for 1 year, you will stop. You'll be able to come. The first time I started feeling fire in my right hand, everybody I met, I say, I'm feeling fire. I wanted them to know that I'm a spiritual man. I'm feeling fire. This fire, I don't know. This fire. After a while, the fire became one of the many signs. So the goal was not the fire. It was what the fire meant. So if I'm in a meeting and I feel it, I know I can drop the microphone and say, Lord, touch now. That's why sometimes I come for a meeting and say, stop playing the keyboard. Stop. Somebody told me, we need this sound. I found something. When that fire is here, even if it's in ice block, you'll be in cold. I can say, shut, keep quiet. Everybody sit down. I'll say, Father, the people you want to bless, touch them now. The fire from my hand will engulf the auditorium. I don't need to shout. I don't need sound. But it took something for that fire to come. So when you see a spiritual man, the reason sometimes they are gathered is because they are trying to interpret signals. They are trying to interpret signs. Sometimes your ears start moving. Your ears moving. What? It means a lot of things to you in the spirit. Somebody may not understand it, but it is the instrumentality of the spirit of wisdom. When these things begin to happen, you know what they mean. So you become so invincible that men will look at you like a wonder to their generation. One of the tokens that a man has been brought into the realm of dominion is that wisdom is given to him. And wisdom is the voice and the leadership of spirits. Many of you who will receive hunger from this conference, it's not about the 120-day fast you embark on. It's about the product of those fastings. Because as you start that fasting, instructions will begin to come. When you obey that instruction to a point, then you will begin to hear these tokens. And the first token you will see most of the time is wisdom. When wisdom comes, it directs you into greatness. That direction of wisdom is what confers upon you the power for dominion. In Proverbs chapter 8 verse 15, wisdom was speaking. He said, by me kings reign. He said, by me princes decree justice. He said, the rulers of the earth, they rule by my excellency. That's wisdom talking. So when you find a man of dominion, it's a man vested with too much wisdom. Did you not read about Solomon? David fought 44 battles. Solomon didn't fight one. Because what arrows and bows can do, wisdom can do two times. Because of the wisdom of Solomon, even his enemies were at peace with him. Men traveled from far and wide to come hear the wisdom of Solomon. Have you not noticed that the greatest men in the generation are not necessarily the firemen? Oh, you didn't notice? My people told me, I say, it's not every service that is fire service. We need fire to set a generation aright, but we need wisdom to confer greatness and authority. That's why when you go to our fathers, the ones that are leading this generation, go to their meetings, you will discover that the first thing you will identify is wisdom. How they are able to manage their staff. 2,000 staff. Everybody is running as if they want to kill themselves. As if the man is looking at them. It's wisdom at work. The edifice they built, how they came about it, is wisdom at work. You enter the auditorium, 50,000, they are having three services. What do you mean? What are you telling these people? Why are they coming? There's a technology. The spirit have told them things that they have done. And so long as they keep doing those things, the men cannot but come. I studied the life of Bishop Oedipo and I was in wonder. A man left the city. The church in the city was 10,000. He locked the door and he went into a forest. And in the forest, he built 50,000 and they have four services. People are come. The last time I went to Canaan land, I said, what? I didn't go on a Sunday. There was still hold up. And I began to wonder the kind of pains people go through in order to attend services there. Meanwhile, they do early morning prayer by 6 a.m. And thousands of people defy all kinds of pain to be there. How many of you have woken up 6 a.m. in the last 2 months? These people wake up sometimes 4:30 just to come there. What is happening is wisdom at work. There are many people raising the dead today that nobody knows they exist. Because they have power, but they don't have wisdom. When a man wants to reign, he must pay the price to come to the realm where the spirits talk to him. If the Holy Ghost doesn't minister to you, angels don't minister to you, you are in trouble. In this life, you will fail. That's why I took time to explain 3 out of the 12 things that trap spirits in a man's life. Altars. When we pray, it's not a religion. We are insisting that something must happen to our ecosystem. There are too many people that their realm is silent. There are no voices there. And that's why they don't know what to do. But when a man begins to function by wisdom, he says he begins to reign. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 15, he said, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, for they know not how to enter the city. That you are laboring does not mean you succeed, except the ingredient of wisdom is added to it, because reigning in life is a product of wisdom. It's not just fire. That's why we fight to keep the spirits in our ecosystem, because they are the custodians of wisdom. They know the secrets of God and they know the secrets of the realm. When they guide you, you can't miss it. It's a true wisdom is an house builded. By understanding, it is established. And he said, by knowledge, all the chambers are filled with precious things. There are many Christians today who lack wisdom. And they lack wisdom because they have not paid the price to keep God. Have you not seen people that evaporated their atmosphere with movies? Have you not seen people that evaporated their atmosphere with malice? Have you not seen people that evaporated, diffused their atmosphere with sentiment, gullible sentiment, because they don't know that their greatest treasure is that atmosphere they created that spirit can easily invade and come away. You can shut out 5 years of your life just because you lost an atmosphere. Because the spirit that should give you the strategic direction that you should take at that junction, you didn't hear him and you took the wrong turn. And I've said it again and again. If you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. This is why we cannot afford to miss the voice of God. The voice of God is spiritual wisdom. Any believer who doesn't pay the price to trap him can never reign in life. Forget all this gullible thing, I'm born again, I'm the righteousness of God, you are joking. Those are foundations of faith, new creation reality. People are quoting it, they are dying. People are quoting it, they are going nowhere. Because the men who taught you hear their stories. They will tell you, God told me. God told me. God told me. They didn't become great because they are new creation. They became great because in addition to being new creations, they heard the voice of God. They heard the voice of angels. They heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. You are here quoting your fathers, quoting the fathers of faith, and you don't have the kind of rigid experiences they have in the spirit, and you think you can succeed them. We are joking. This is why we pay the price to trap the voice of God. And you can't trap the voice of God unless God is in your ecosystem. When this wisdom comes, you'll be shocked the way he will guide you. There's a wisdom of honor. You are praying to God to promote you, and God is telling you to serve somebody. And then you are trying to rationalize. I'm saying I don't have time. I'm 35 years old. My mates have gone ahead of me. I need you to do something urgent. He said, go and serve this man. Go and honor this man. Will I still go and waste the next 4 years of my life? You don't know the technology. When the hand of God comes upon you, you will outrun the chariots of Ahab. But what you need to do to provoke it is what he's telling you. Because what that man already has, God won't bring it from heaven. He will transfer it from that man to you. So he's telling you, go there and honor him. If you honor him, whether he likes it or not, you'll receive it. Because there's a way to take something from a man, whether he wants to give it or not. Hope you know Elijah never wanted to give Elijah the mantle. But Elisha had honored Elijah too much that when Elijah was going, the whirlwind blew the mantle down. You can't take it anywhere. A man honoring you is on ground. You can't but bless him. This is why men reign. And when alien spirits enter our world, they begin to fight divine wisdom. And so we have a godless generation, an irreverent generation. People gather, they think they have revelation of scripture. And they speak against authorities. They speak against powers. And they don't know that they are short-circuiting their possibilities. Because wisdom is lacking. There's a wisdom of giving in this kingdom. You have nothing. You are saving money for your house rent. Your house rent is 400,000. You have saved 50,000 in 6 months. And you come somewhere and say, give it to this person. And then you say, what? What I saved in 6 months? I have 4 months to deadline. My landlord will soon come. And you'll say, you want me to be stranded? It's a wisdom at work. It's a give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. It's a technology superior to your realm. I'm not talking about zealous giving. I'm talking about men who know the voice of God. And you enter a place and it tells you, drop it. And you drop it. And you go out. And in 1 week, you'll get what you didn't get in 6 months. And then you are wondering, how did this happen? Because when you obey the voice of God, he reprograms nature to your advantage. That's why I said, you know not the evil that will come upon the earth. That means even the earth no longer has the power to stop you. If the earth decides to fail, you will still succeed. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. It said, therefore, get wisdom. And in all thy getting, get understanding. And I came to tell you, wisdom is not gathering facts. It's access to the voice of God. And it will take spiritual labor to trap the voice of God. Praise the Lord. There's a wisdom of humility. The wisdom of humility is what makes men to rise. The lifting of men is a function of humility, not a function of power. You can be so anointed and be in one spot for 10 years. And then you are wondering what's going on. I spoke with a man. He called me, reached out to me and said, the great apostle. I said, God bless you, sir. The man is calling me the great apostle. I salute you, sir. I didn't know God sent him to shift me. You are the only person thinking that the oil on your head will shape the whole world. Celebrate you, sir. I spoke with the man for a couple of times. And after a while, this man would call me and pay $100,000 for me to be put on TV that will start beaming from April. $100,000 is over 57 million naira. What if when I spoke to him and he called me great apostle, I squared my shoulder and said, yes, how are you doing? How can I help you? How can I help you? He will say, God bless you, sir. I end the call. That will be the last time. But you just shut the door to your television ministry. That's why you hear God. You are too dull to lead your own life. He says, it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. Your brain can do physics and chemistry, not life. The algorithm for life is more complex than physics. But until you can hear, you will not be that wise. You will not be that wise. If you learn this foundation, some of you will leave this conference and tell yourself, until I begin to hear God for everything, my life has not started. And that is the truth. Because you can be 50 years old, you have not started living. Because you actually start living when you start hearing God. That's why your life will be full of mistakes and dislocations. You are in Lagos when you should be in Adamawa. And you don't know why you are struggling. All the favor you receive in Lagos still can't make you fulfill destiny. Because principally speaking, you were already dislocated. You start living the day you start hearing God. That's why you pay the price to trap spirits. Praise God. Is this simple? Number two, you know the conference is called Reigning in Life. If I don't say these things and I come and I begin to ascend into my element, you will admire me, you will receive impartation and go. But after 2 weeks, you will come back to where you are. But when I talk like this, somebody will live here and he will no longer pride himself in prayer. He will say, if I pray, I must hear God. So his prayer now has a focus. A man who is praying to hear God is superior to a man who is praying for 10 hours. Because the man who is praying for 10 hours has a benchmark. The man who is praying to hear God, if he doesn't hear God, after 70 hours, he's still praying. After 2 weeks, he's still praying. After 1 month, he's still praying. And when he starts hearing God, he won't stop. Because every day he will want to hear God. So he's not praying with time. Prayer becomes his life. Because the means by which you trap it is the means by which you will keep it. Praise God. You want to reign in life, you must function by wisdom. You want to function by wisdom, you must hear God. You want to hear God, there is a technology. Altars, brokenness, all these things must be installed. Some of us are so full of ourselves, we are like peacocks. And we don't know why life is not going anywhere. And motivational speakers will come and say, package. And you have been doing packaging for 6 years. You have packaged until the packaging have been repackaged and repackaged. And now when people see you, they know you are a bundle of package. Praise God. The second thing that confers the authority to reign in life, which are some of the tokens you receive when spirits come into your ecosystem, is favor. When spirits begin to live around you, their atmosphere rubs off on you. What we call favor are actually the fragrances of the spirits we interact with. When you deal with the Holy Ghost for a long time, or certain angels, they will rub off something on you. You know, when you hug me, a measure of my perfume will follow you. And those who know my perfume, when they see you, they will know that you've been with Mike. So the things that happen to me will begin to happen to you. Hope you know that Jacob received an inheritance because of perfume. He touched his skin
It was like Esau's. The aroma, like Esau. What is going on here? So when your atmosphere begins to affect you, some of the fragrances it produces are favor. And those favor have power to affect your world. In Exodus chapter 12 verse 36, Israel had been in Egypt for 430 years. As slaves, suddenly, favor comes upon their life. And the Bible will make a very strange statement. It says, God gave favor to the Israelites. I thought God would give Israel something else. Why didn't you give them wealth? Why didn't you give them power? He said, God gave Israel favor. And on the strength of that favor, he said, Israel spoiled the Egyptians. They took the wealth of Egypt because of favor. So favor has the power to produce wealth. Wealth has the power to make you rule in life. There are many things favor can do for you that your intelligence and hard work cannot do. How can a 400 years old slave suddenly become a creature that is master? We want to give him his best treasures. Because favor reprogrammed their thinking faculties. When a man becomes... Have you seen men who are favored before? You are coming somewhere and the people are restless. They don't know what they will do for you to be satisfied. When they give you all they have, they still escort you to the junction. While you are yet going, they are standing and waving. They wish they gave you themselves. Can I tell you why many great men have people serving them without supervision? It's favor. The favor on their life is so strong that the people serving them are killing themselves and they think they are doing honor to these people. The Bible said David desired to drink water from the well that is in the garrison of the Philistine. The moment they heard it, he didn't tell them, get me water. The Bible said they put their lives to jeopardy. Because how can you jeopardize your life because somebody is thirsty? Does that mean his thirst is superior to your life? Are you that worthless? It's not because you are worthless. Because these men were called mighty men. These were heavy men. But on the strength of the favor that was on the life of David, they were willing to die just for David to drink water. If that kind of favor is on your life today, tell me why you will struggle. Tell me why. That you were just thirsty. Somebody is willing to die for you to drink water. It's a dimension of favor. That's why you see somebody has 5,000 staff. You are wondering, how is he controlling these people? He's not controlling them. Everybody is serving him as if it's an honor to die for him. Everybody. There are some people who have not seen their staff for 2 years. But every day that staff comes to work, he wants to kill himself. Doing it with joy. Because the favor on the man's life is controlling him. That favor reprograms you. The same way it reprogrammed the Israelites. That suddenly they looked at their slave and assumed that no, they deserve all that they had. That's how favor reprograms men. So people on their own go out of their way to ensure that you are comfortable. You have a vision and all of a sudden, everybody go out of their way to ensure that that vision work. And then you are wondering, what is going on? Favor is at work. You stand up, you say, we need a land. That day, four people give you land. And it's not because they have too many. The land they gave you, some of them, is the land they saved money for 10 years to buy. But because you say you need a land, 10 years of savings, they gather it together and say, please take. When you see men rain, the volume of favor they carry is thick. It's very thick. I heard Pastor Chris said something. He said, I don't ask for things. He said, I ask it for people. Because if I just think it, it happens. And while he was preaching in the service, he said, jokingly, about a car. The moment the service was over, they packed six cars. Six waiting. So they are careful not to say anything. Because if you just stand up and say, car, my watch. The next day you have 200 watches. People are just waiting to see if you need anything. And you are wondering, even they themselves don't know why.
Because the man who is killing himself to bless you, maybe in his house he doesn't have food. And then he doesn't know what is up. That's favor. But the reason people have those kind of favor is not gimmick. A spirit have rubbed off on them. So when they see you, it is the glory of those spirits that they see. So they interact with you based on the glory of the spirits that rub themselves off on you. That's why people can give you money. They can give you time. They can give you their asset. And you are wondering, what is happening? It's favor at work. Those days when we were much younger, sometimes we went for meetings. We don't even hear what the preacher preached. We just came as we see the person. We are blessed. We are so... I used to travel to Lagos just to look at Pastor Chris. I will come back from the meeting. Sometimes I don't remember anything he taught. And I don't care. My impartation is just to see him. My God. I'm talking 10 years ago. My whole savings, I will use it to pay for transport fare. I don't even have accommodation most of the time. We are coming to Ikeja, Kudrat Abiola way, and I'm staying in Maitu, in a friend's place. I will come there, no food to eat because I use all my money for transport. I will stay for morning service and evening service. When the man of God comes out, oh Jesus, I just start weeping. Sometimes when he come out, we now kneel down. Lord, help us. Help us. Just to look at him. If he likes, he should come and smile. It's enough. We didn't come to hear Rema. Thank God for the message. But the impartation we receive just looking at him is enough. What kind of thing is that? It's called favor. That young men will risk their life just because they want to look at somebody. And when we look at him, the fire we come back with. Hey, because that month, all of us are like him. Have you not seen people? Mature men, family men, palming their hair. And they are not complete until the hair is palmed. Even though their whole family members are attacking them, that's how they look good. Because of the favor. He never told anybody to palm his hair. He just decorated himself, and everybody who sees it is copying and pasting. You don't know me too, I palm my hair. I palmed my hair for more than 5 years. I called it. Imagine if you saw me now with Jericho. Those days, we will palm our hair, comb it on one side, and my God. It's called favor. This is what gives them power. So when these men stand and they speak, the whole nation can come to a standstill. On Independence Day, people are cleaning gutters. Not because they are serving God. They say they are doing it on behalf of Pastor Chris. Married men, some are senators, some are commissioners. They will enter the gutter. What they have never done. People that they serve from January to December, when it comes to offer 7, they are in the gutter. And it's not like Pastor Chris will come and say, thank you very much, God bless you. They don't even care. They don't even want him to say thank you. Have you not seen people who do something for you, want to say, they say, no sir, don't say thank you. No, no, please, please don't say thank you. That's how men rule. But for that kind of thing to happen with you, you will mingle with the spirit for a long time. That's why I say, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, in the spirit and interacted with Enoch. I came for a vigil. People were busy off. They called me to do a talk show. I sat down. I only answered 2 questions. When I started talking, the ancient wisdom that I communicated, even a pastor that was waiting inside to come and do miracle service, when he came out, he said, who was talking there? Because I came with another aroma. I came with another aroma. You can't meet a spirit and be the same. They will leave a measure of the atmosphere on you. And when you carry that atmosphere, oh my. I'm trying to contain myself because my spirit is beginning to spark. The embers of fire are beginning to spark. Because the things I share now, they remind me of my journeys in the spirit. In the spirit, hear this. You don't need to do anything. We have begun to journey. I'm seeing a path in the spirit, and it's flooded with light. And I've seen men being carried and put on that path, and they have been led on journeys. And so, as I speak now, the people that are being caught up in the realm, caught up, those who have been caught up, I mobilize the angels. Let the ceremony of the spirit begin by the spirit. Lift your hands toward heaven I'm seeing a great light fall on people here. Father, by the Spirit, take that light. Warriors. The reason I'm calm is because if I get violent, people will be injured. The angels that came into this building are warring angels. Father, everyone whose hand you are about to teach to fight, and whose finger you are about to teach to war, seven men, governmental dimensions of power, in the name of Jesus, wherever they are, take that grace. Alleluia. Alleluia. Of his ministers, a flame of fire. Pray in the spirit.
So river flow, let it river flow in your church once again. Let it
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please hear me. What's happening this morning is beyond people falling down. Something will hit you. You will leave here. You will be shocked at yourself. You can't explain it. A hunger will be born. You won't know what to heard. Yet, you will not be able to leave the altar. Until these things I shared become your reality, you can't stop. That's why I took time to explain them. There is a fire. There is a fire in the name of Jesus. There is a fire that is about to hit this building. Ushers, I need you to be sensitive because some of them might start running. And I don't want people injured. Please help the brother. There is a radical dimension of power that is coming here like a flame of fire. And it will engulf seven of you. By the Spirit of the Living God.
Oh, him in the air. I've got a kick beat.
Like as it was on the day of Pentecost, so let it be. Even this morning, let the fire rest on everyone. Every head represented, take your portion. Take your portion. On ground, online, I release a flame. Take it now.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing a heart surgery taking place somewhere here. You don't need to lift your hand. There's somebody here with a heart condition. I'm seeing somebody's heart being transplanted in the spirit. Here, who is the person? You have a heart challenge somewhere here. Very close to me. Come. I'm seeing a heart surgery take place. That affliction is gone forever, never to return. By the spirit. Go now. To Jacob, enlightened upon Israel. Take that release. Take your healing
your
now.
Your name is to be hallowed.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Your name is to be
hallowed.
There's a fire here. I come to kindle it. As I come, Lord, everyone with a witness of fire by the Spirit, take that fire.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.